All over the world, the territorial needs of creatures of the wild conflict with the desire of humans to expand their areas of habitation. In Nebraska, this ecological collision course can be quite literally observed as hundreds, perhaps thousands of birds of prey fly into cars, trains, buildings, bullets, barbed wire, and steel traps each year. Of the injured survivors and orphaned fledglings, about 300 arrive yearly on a certain doorstep in Lincoln, a door that may soon be permanently closed, Nina Galen reports.
The clicking you hear is a warning sound from the beak of a large owl. The warning is directed at Betsy Hancock, founder director of the Raptor Recovery Center in Lincoln. Hancock understands what the owl is telling her, but continues gently stabilizing its injured wing with gauze bandage. As she works, Carrie Uribe, another volunteer, cradles the huge bird in her arms.
Oh, sweetie, I know. It hurts. I'm sorry.
Weak from loss of blood, weighing little more than a pound, the owl cannot enforce its threat. It lies on its back like a helpless infant, its mighty talons closed on nothingness.
We don't know what happened, but she's got a very badly broken wing, and part of it is cold, which means there's no blood supply out there, so it's going to have to come off.
So if you take the wing off, then what?
Well, then we're going to have to find a place for her, because she certainly can't go back to the wild.
Okay, sweetie.
Let me give her a pill, too.
I know. You are so pretty. Soft, too. So many feathers. So many feathers.
Everyone connected to the Raptor Recovery Center is a volunteer. Four local vets donate their services. Betsy Hancock, who started the center 18 years ago, gives 30 to 40 hours of her time a week tending to the raptors, maintaining records, filling out the reams of paperwork required by the state and federal agencies which license her, answering her constantly ringing telephone. Added to her concerns is the fact that soon the Omaha company that donates food to the center will be shutting its doors. Unless a new source of donated food is found, the Raptor Center will also have to close. Donations of food and money and volunteers are what keep the center operating. Carrie Uribe has the dedication to be a volunteer. One winter day, she takes a visitor to the recovery barns outside Lincoln. It's her turn to feed the hawks, eagles, owls, and other birds. The job isn't as simple as forking hay to a barn full of cows.
Wintertime poses a little bit of a challenge because most of the owls will not feed until dusk, whereas the hawks are daytime eaters and eagles, and they will not eat after dusk. So you have to time it kind of just right in the winter, because if the food sits out too long, it'll freeze before the nighttime birds get to it.
Nor is feeding raptors as convenient as opening a can of cat chow.
We're open for grabs for whatever food supplies we can get. Mice, rats, hamsters, fish when we have eagles and ospreys on hand. Sometimes we get rabbits, sometimes we get sparrows. I mean, any variety of things can be supplied to us, and most of the birds will eat any variety of thing. Wintertime is a crucial time for feeding, body temperature-wise, energy-wise, moisture content. Wintertime is a much more crucial time to be sure that you are here to feed. At summertime, we provide water for the birds in pans. Wintertime, we cannot do that because the water would freeze. So what we actually have to do is inject the food with water prior to feeding.
The food prepared, it's time to start feeding the birds. Uribe climbs a ladder leading to a loft about 20 feet high by 40 long. That's space enough for red-tailed hawks to fly in and, hopefully, develop enough strength to be released back to the wild. She sets the food down in places as far apart as possible so the birds won't fight over it. Uribe is also permitted to care for raptors at her home. She does what she can to raise food for them.
I've got three cages of rats at home and five cages of mice that I raise because I house two of our educational birds. And that way they don't feed off of our supply that is donated.
Director Hancock has been planning for the coming food crunch.
Well, we've managed to stockpile some food, so I think we'll be okay for a few months. We've gotten a few contacts. We have gotten some smaller amounts of food, but it's not as plentiful nor as consistent as the place we had before. I can't begin to tell you thousands and thousands of rats and hamsters we got from them. Never kept track of it. But I have 14 cages of mice and 8 cages of rats, and that's enough to feed. They produce enough to feed 2 birds for a year. Someone estimated one time if you wanted to have 100 mice a day to feed, you know, to feed out, you'd have to have 1,700 breeding pairs of mice to take care of, and that's a full-time job, and it's a separate building.
Hancock hopes someday the center will not have to depend on donated food or on borrowed land and barns, which, however generously lent them, could be withdrawn at any time. She envisions a recovery center in the middle of a raptor park with flight cages big enough for even eagles to strengthen their wings in, with heated buildings for the sicker birds and for the raising of food. What's needed is 30 or 40 acres of unfarmable land somewhere between Lincoln and Omaha. For Nebraska Public Radio, I'm Nina Galen.